Exodus chapter number 5. Again, it's always a joy to be back. Liberty, appreciate the Lord, and you pray for us tonight. Just want to read, and I'm going to move into chapter number 6. But for time's sake, I do want to say that you do know now that Moses here has received the call from the burning bush. And he has made a trip back to Egypt, and now Moses is in this process of commanding Pharaoh through the power of the Lord and his voice and to let my people go. And then we find that Moses' trouble, you would think that it would get better, but really it just keeps getting worse. And can I tell you, it's never going to get better in Egypt. It's always going to get worse. And we find here that Moses is making this plea. But yet in the midst of it, the people, and I know it's going to really shock you Baptists, but they begin to get murmured amongst themselves, and they begin to complain. Ain't none of y'all ever done none of that, I know. But they begin to complain to Moses and Aaron. Matter of fact, they're going to begin to blame Moses and Aaron. They're going to get their own little committee together, and they're going to make it even worse than it was before. The Bible said in verse number 22 that Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Notice this next phrase. Why is it that thou hast sent me? Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. And I pray, God, you'd help us and make preaching easy. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. What a question that Moses here would ask the Lord. Lord, why have you sent me? God, why do I got to put up with these people? Lord, why do I have to go through these problems? And it seems every time that Moses is asking this question, it seems that the answer just seems to get more severe. The attitude of the people seems to get worse and worse and worse. Moses, and somebody said, is it wrong to ask God why? I don't believe it is. Matter of fact, I've asked God why. I don't mean I got an answer back. But I've asked God, God, why am I here? There's something to realize about the children of Israel before we go any further tonight. The children of Israel had a real bad problem of always looking to tomorrow. In other words, they want to know what God was going to do for them next. God, what you going to... You see, they come out of Egypt, and they want to know what God was going to do next. And he put them at the Red Sea, and he made the waters depart, and they walked over dry ground. They want to know what God was going to do next. Then they get in the wilderness, and they're there for 40 years, and God feeds them with manna and quail. But they're always wanting to know what God's going to do next. Can I say this tonight? You better be careful always of wanting what God wants next. And maybe God's put you in the school of right now. Maybe God wants you to see what He's doing right now, more than He wants to see you what He's going to do tomorrow. Now, I know He's the God of yesterday and today and forever, amen, and He's the God of tomorrow. But I understand this. That matter of fact, you're going to find in the book of Numbers, there was 12 men that, can I tell you, that went out there and spied the land of Canaan. And we know that for so many years now, God's been telling them, listen to me, you listen to me, you listen to me. And now God sends them out to spy in the land, and then God wants them to tell Him what's going on over there. And we know that 10 of them failed the test, and 2 of them passed. We know that Caleb and Joshua come back and said, hey, God has done work. Hey, there's some fellas over there, we can take them. There's some fruit over there, we can get it. Hey, there's a land flowing of milk and honey. But 10 of them over here said, I don't think it happened. Sound like a good Baptist conference, don't it? I don't think it happened. 10 of them failed. What they forgot about is what God had already done. Where God had already been. The footsteps and the fingerprints of where God had already been in their life. But I'm glad there was 2 boys that still passed. Amen. Moses is approached with this question of why. God, why are you doing this? And I find that in chapter number 6, that in Moses' life and in the children of Israel, that God is going to answer that question of why. Now, we ask the question of why, and let me just go ahead and preface this. You may not like the answer you get, and it sure may not be the answer you want when you ask God why. A lot of times we want God to get us out of our whys, but Maybe God's going to leave us in our whys so that He'll be glorified and He'll get the honor and the praise. But we find within chapter number 6, just in these first few verses, that while Moses is asking this question of why, God is going to remind him of some things. I want you to notice, if you will, in verse number 1 of chapter number 6. The Bible said, "Then the Lord said unto Moses, He said, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of the land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him," notice this next phrase, "I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them." The Bible said in verse number 6, He said, "Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord." He says in first, as He's responding to this question of why, He said, "Moses, I want to remind you of who I am." He said, "I am the Lord." Can I remind you, that gives us this thought tonight, that He is reminding Moses that He is the God of divine authority. He said, "Moses, I've got it all under control tonight. Hey, Moses, I've not lost any sleep tonight over the situation. I'm not biting my fingernails, and I've not had to take no Alka-Seltzer to settle my stomach. Moses, I want you to know, while you're down here asking why, and you're worried over the situation, I want you to know, I still got the reins of this thing. Can I remind you, it don't matter how the country looks, and really it don't matter the state of the church. He's still in control tonight. He knows what He's doing. Why? Because He's the God of divine authority." Can I remind you that He reminds Moses that "I am the Lord." That little word "Lord," big word "Lord," capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, is the word we get for Jehovah in the Old Testament. And I remember reading in Bible college where those writers would approach that word, and it was said that they, Brother Adam, they would take it, when they come to that word, they would go change their garment, they'd wash their body and their hands, and they'd get a new pen because of that holy name, Jehovah. You said, "Brother Brian, what does it mean?" It means the self-existent one. Can I go ahead and say this? The angels depend on God for their existence. Me and you depend on God for our existence. The creatures depend on God for their existence. But can I remind you, God depends on nobody for His existence. He is self-independent tonight. He needs nobody. He has to have nobody prop him up. He don't need nobody to help him or do for him. He's God Jehovah tonight, and He's got it under control. Amen. He reminds him that, "Moses, while you are down here reminding me of why you're here, and you're down here making these statements about why, I just want to let you in on a little secret. I am the Lord. I've got it under control. I'm still God. And in your situation, Moses, I know what I'm doing. I know where I'm at. I've not lost control of this thing. I understand what's going on. Matter of fact, I'm the one allowing it to go on tonight." Did you know tonight we'll complain about the situation in our country? We'll complain about the situation in the world. But can I remind you, God's still on the throne. And can I tell you what's going on at the White House and what's going on down at your house? I ain't caught God one bit by surprise. Matter of fact, I would say God's had His hand in every bit of it. God's orchestrating this thing. Hey, we want to talk about going to heaven. We want to talk about getting out of here. But don't nobody want to get bad enough to leave. Amen. This thing's got to get worse before it ever gets better. This thing's got to get worse before we ever get out of here. But can I remind you tonight, He lets Moses know that "I am independent of man's doings tonight. I need no man to dictate to me and help me along the way. I need no man to dictate to me control. I need no man to dictate to me what I'm doing tonight. Moses, don't you understand who I am? I am the Lord tonight." He don't need man's interjection. I've never one time heard of a shepherd who's walked down to the sheep and say, "All right, we're going to leave this greeny pasture. We're going to go beside still waters. We're going to march over the hill into some nice pasture. All in favor, say aye, raise your hind leg." Never heard that. Never seen that.
Matter of fact, all I've ever seen is God being God. He's independent of man's concern, independent of man's help tonight. He doesn't need me and you. But thank God, He lets me and you be involved. Aren't you glad of that? Hey, God don't need me to get anything done. But thank God, He lets me be part of something getting done. He don't need me to preach. But I'm glad, thank God, He lets me preach tonight. He don't need me to do for Him. But thank God, He lets me worship Him tonight. Saying to you, He does not need man's interjection. Do you know tonight that I'm accountable to my wife? I'm accountable to my church. I'm accountable to my God. I believe I'm accountable to you tonight. But God's not accountable to anybody. He's perfect. And He's holy. He is the God of divine authority. And whatever He chooses to do, whether it be my life or whether it be your life, God has every right to do it tonight. God has every, amen, God has every right, whether it be to stir the storm or to settle peace in my heart. God is God. He can do what He chooses. He's not accountable to nobody. So therefore, He is the God of divine authority. Number two, notice verse number three. He said, I appeared unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But my name Jehovah was I not known unto them. Verse number four. The Bible said, and I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians kept in bondage. I have remembered my covenant. Can I remind you, God only said He's the God of divine authority. He said, I am. But now God is reminding us that He is the God of divine accomplishment. I have. Let me just stop here and just take recess a moment. If there's any good thing about us tonight, it's all because Jesus has done it. I need a better amen than that tonight. I said if there's any good thing tonight in us, it's because God put it there through His Son. That's the only reason tonight I can accomplish anything. We look around, Brother Daniel, we look around as men's build, trying to build kingdoms everywhere we look. Even in the church world, men's trying to build kingdoms. But can I remind you tonight, He's the only King tonight. Amen. And He's the only one that's got a kingdom tonight that's worthy of mentioning tonight. I'm not doing anything but getting in my place. But can I tell you, if anything gets done, hey, you say, preacher, what about them two souls that got saved? That's because, thank God, the grace of God accomplished something this morning. Amen. You say, what about somebody else that gets saved? It's because God's grace has accomplished something. What if the church gets built? It's because God allowed it to be built. He's the one building the church. What if families come back together? It's because God is putting it in their heart and drawing them back together. Well, if somebody gets healed of disease, it's because God put His hand on them and He touched them and He healed them. I'm telling you, everything that ever gets done that's worth any honor or any praise, He deserves the glory. He deserves the honor. He deserves the praise tonight. Why? He's the God of divine accomplishment. I have. You know, I'm awful guilty tonight, like we said earlier. I forget a lot of times what God is doing right now. And that makes me forget what God has already done. I'll go ahead and be the first to admit I'm a selfish person. I'm wanting God always to do something else. I'm wanting God to always do something more. And if we're not careful, we'll become spoiled to the fact that God is so good to us. We'll become spoiled to the fact that God is and has and will do for us. But can I just say this, Brother Jason? We all deserve to be in hell tonight. I said we all deserve to be in hell tonight. And I don't know where you were when God's found you, but I know where I was. I don't deserve one bit of this. I didn't deserve to be saved. You hear me tonight? I didn't deserve to be saved. And can I tell you, thank God, in 1991 September, the Lord saved my soul. But I'm going to tell you, God showed up a whole lot more since then. And God's done a whole lot more since then. Not only has He saved me, but thank God He's kept me. Amen. And He is keeping me. I don't deserve none of that. I deserve to be in hell tonight. I deserve to be in hell without any kind of benefit from God. But yet through His mercy and through His grace, honey, He turned direction my way and your way. And He come to where we were. And He reached out and picked us up. And He saved our wretched souls. And not only that, He gave us and put us in the family of God. And gave us a family to have benefits and to have blessings of. And a church to worship in. Nobody deserves what God's done for us. But yet it's God that is accomplishing things. You see, the spear here of His accomplishment. Verse 4 and 5, He reminded him that he would remember. He said, I have remembered my covenant in verse number 5. Now, so nobody won't understand. That don't mean God's forgot. You hear me? That means God has the ability to recall everything at the same time. Oh my, that helps me tonight. That means if you got a need, and if you got a need, Brother Mike, and if you got a need, Brother Tim, and if you got a need, Brother Tim, and Brother Adam, and if you got a need, Brother CC, God can orchestrate it all at the same time. Hey, and if you're praying a prayer, and if you're praying a prayer, and if you're... Hey, God can hear it. Amen. You remember what it told old Zacharias in Luke chapter number 1? That old man there getting ready to have a baby. He said, I just want to let you know, I was standing at the throne room. And he said, they called your name, Zacharias. And he said, your prayer has been heard. And I remind you tonight that God has the accomplishing ability to accomplish everything in our life. And here's what's so amazing. Everybody's from different backgrounds. Everybody has different likes and different passions. But yet He'll save us, put us in the same family, bring a whole bunch of different people together and accomplish His glory and His plan. And it all gets the honor and He all gets the praise for doing the work that He set forth in the church. All at one time. What's He doing? He's showing us the spear of His accomplishment. He can do anything He chooses. Right now, the same God that's here tonight, the same God in the Philippines with Josh Adams as we speak. The same God that's here with us tonight, the same God that's going to be down in prisons tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and all week down there with Rock of Ages. The same God working. He wanted to remind Moses, why you're down here having a pity party, why you think I don't know what's going on, I just want to remind you of who I am. And I want to remind you of what I've already done. I just want to let you know I'm the one that threw the stars out in the sky. I'm the one that traced the rivers with my finger. I'm the one that scooped out the oceans with my hand. I'm the one that spoke this world into existence when there was nothing. And can I remind you something, Moses? When you was a nobody, before you ever knew who you was, I'd already set you aside and ordained you. And can I called you by my grace. And can I remind you, come on down to 2015, He's doing the same thing for me and you. Before I ever knew Him, He'd already accomplished things in my life. Why? He is the God of divine accomplishment. The spear. The Bible said here in verse number 5, He said, I just want to let you know I've also heard the groaning of the children of Israel. Now groaning's a lot different than a prayer. It is a prayer. But we know the book of Romans in chapter number 8 tells us that the Spirit of God maketh intercessions for our groanings which cannot be uttered. Can I remind you what a groaning is? It's when your why has turned nothing more than to a groan. They've quit asking God why and they started groaning. Oh God. God, God. Oh God. The taskmasters throwing the whips on their backs. The flesh pots, the brick being laid, the straw being laid. And you find throughout all the land of Egypt, you can hear a groaning of God's people. And He reminded Moses, while you're down here asking me what I'm doing and why I'm doing it, I'm a-hearing every prayer that's a-coming out of Egypt. I've not turned a deaf ear to any one of my people. I can hear what they're saying. I can hear their groanings. I can hear their prayer. There's nothing that is withholding their groanings, Moses, from me. Why? Because He is the God who has the accomplishment to accomplish this sphere of life, but yet He is supplication of His accomplishment. God can hear us when we think He can't hear us. We started teaching our kids back about a year and a half ago, when they first started really talking where you couldn't shut them up. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Last night I laid down with Will, and he had to tell me everything about the day. And he had a little trouble last night. He had to go to sleep, so I laid down there beside him, Miss Karen, and he said, "Daddy, I got you a truck and I got you two cars." And Daddy, and he's just mumbling, he's just running over. And then I had to go in there and lay down with Alan. Hannah said, "Now, Daddy, I want you to know I love my dolls, and my dolls are the best dolls I've ever had, Daddy. And Daddy, if you'll get me another doll, though, I'll put them over there with them best dolls, and they'll be all together." And she's reminding me of all these things about her dolls. But I thought to myself, what kind of father would I be if I walked in the Will's room and heard him when he needed his daddy the most? And then I walked by Anna's room and her sitting there saying, "Daddy, would you listen to me?" And Miss Renee, I'd shut the door to her cries and walk away. I'd be a pretty sorry father. But I want to say tonight, I got a daddy. I got a daddy that not only might come by and hear you, but he'll come over and he'll hear me. And he'll hear my heart cry. And he'll be there, he'll come where you are. And he'll come where you are. He'll come over to your house. And he'll come where you're praying. He'll come to where your needs are. And he'll hear. And I'm glad tonight I got a father that can hear my prayer. But not only hear my prayer, he can hear your prayer tonight. He's not, can I tell you, he does not withhold us from hearing him and from him listening to us. He's a Savior that can hear us when we think nobody can. He hears the groanings. Why? But here's what's so amazing about that. He's the only one that can hear it and do something about it. He's the only one that can hear what's in your life. That very thing you're asking God why over. That very thing that you're saying, "God, why? Why?" He's the only one that can hear that cry and hear that groaning and be able to turn it around and do something when you call on Him. I'm limited tonight, Brother Daniel. I can't do it. Brother Ken, I'm limited tonight. I can't do it. Only God can hear us. And only God can accomplish it. Why? He's the God of divine. You hear me tonight? Amen? He's the God of divine accomplishment. He is the God tonight of divine accomplishment. Let me say here lastly in verse number 6. Notice the Bible. He said, "Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord." Now notice this next phrase. "And I will bring you up out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it you for an inheritance or heritage, and I am the Lord." Can I say tonight that He is the God tonight who can divine accomplish what He chooses? He is the God who has divine authority. He said, "I am." He said, "I have." But now we said right here, He said, "I will. I will." He is the God who is making a covenant. He's making a promise. Now, if we're living under the law tonight, we're trying to do all the thou shalts and the thou shalt nots. But the Bible said the law is a schoolmaster. The law is a good thing. Only problem is the preacher's done preaching. I ain't taking his message. It can't get me over into Canaan. But can I tell you what it can do? It can get me to Christ. Amen. But can I remind you tonight, it's the very thing that God reminds us of tonight, is that He is a God who makes a promise. And He is a God that will keep that promise. I'm going to ask you a question. I don't know if you'll be honest with me. You ever lied? Let me ask you husbands something. You ever lied to your wife? We ain't having couples retreat. Amen. Come on. Ladies, you ever lied to your husband? Huh? Men, has she ever walked out and she just had something that you didn't like her wearing and you had to lie? Because you know your biscuits would be burned if you didn't? How does this look? Oh, it's the best. My goodness, you're stunning tonight. Then you had to come to church and Brother Daniel start singing. You had to get right with God. Amen. Ladies, if he ever walked in after cutting the grass and you and that old ragged body that, I mean, used to be, I mean, he had a physique, but now it looks like it's, I mean, it's just pretty soon it's going downhill from here. Let's just say that. And he said, honey, what do you think? She said, honey, you're still the best looking thing in the world. Then she had to go ask God to forgive her because she lied. But you helped his ego, amen. Can I remind you something tonight? God's never told you one thing he ain't backed up. God's never promised us one thing that he hadn't come through on. God's never one time made a promise to us. He never one time made a promise to the children of Israel that he didn't back up. Can I say tonight real quickly that in verse number 6, the Bible said that he said, I will bring you out from under the burdens. Can I say this quickly and hurry through this? That he is the God of accomplishment. He is the God who makes a divine allegiance with us. The Bible said he will bring you out from under the burden. That little word "bring" is an interesting word. It means to exit out of or to come forth out of heavy labor. The little word "burden" we know means a load or it means a weight. Can I remind you, Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28, come unto me all you that are heavy laden, or that are laboring or heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Can I remind you what he's made a promise to the New Testament church and to the New Testament child of God? That he will bear our burdens. Why do we tend to carry it, Brother Tim, all on our own when we got a Savior that's willing to bear them for us? A Savior that's willing to carry the load. Can I remind you what he said? He said, I will rid you out of their bondage. Not only will he bear the burdens, but he will break the yoke of those things that's bounding us. Got us under bondage. The little word rid out means to rescue and recover. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through the pulling down of strongholds. The little word pulling down means destroying or destruction of those things which once hindered us. Now, you know you better than anybody else knows you tonight. Would you agree with that? I know me better than anybody knows me tonight in here. The Lord knows me better than he knows than we really know ourselves, don't he? But I want to ask you this question. If people knew me and you the way me and you know me and you, would you give us time of day? You remember some of them things that you were dragging around when you walked in as an old sinner in this church house? You remember some of them old things you were dragging around? Some of them things you thought you'd never get away from? Some of them things that had you bound? Some of them things that had you under bondage? Some of them things that had you locked down? You couldn't worship? You couldn't worship the Lord? You remember some of them things you was dragging around? But look at you now. Ain't it amazing he has the ability to come along and unleash the chains that had us under bondage? When I first got saved, Brother Mike, and I started preaching, I had a bad problem. I'm going to tell you what it is. I wanted to please every preacher in the world. Until I got about 6 years in this thing and I realized I can't do enough to please them all. They just as messed up as I am. Amen. Can I tell you, can I just relay something? We ain't nothing but a bunch of messed up people trying to help a bunch of messed up people. They's as messed up as I am. So I figured I just soon displeased the Lord. And he unhooked me from that chain. And he let me go and learn how to be myself. And he gave me some liberty and some fields of grace to run in along the way. You know, people will kill you trying to make you please them. People are funny people. Some people want you to jump through hoops. Some people want you to jump over fire. And I can't do narrow one. Hula hoops ain't big enough. And I can't jump high enough to get over fire. Run through it. I'm too fat and slow to make it. Can't get to water quick enough. I've been under some bondage before. But I'm glad that the Lord has set me free. He said, Moses, why are you asking me why? I come to set you free. I come to get you out from under your bondage. Verse 6, the Bible said, listen, he said, that I have come to redeem you with a stretched out arm. Now listen here. That same word redeem, if you look it up in your Bible dictionary, means kinsman redeemer. It's the same word used in the book of Ruth. He said, I've not only come to get you out of bondage. I've not only come to carry your burdens. He said, I come to buy you and to be your redeemer and to be your Lord. Then he goes on to say, he said, I will take you to me. He said, I come to make you my bride. I didn't know if y'all knew it. The day you got saved, you start on a journey to a wedding. Ain't that a blessing? I am the bride of Christ, headed toward the bridegroom. He just didn't come to, can I tell you, just to save me and get me out of hell. Thank God I am going that way. I'm headed to heaven. I've been taken out of hell. But He's done so much more. The verse come to my mind. He said in verse number 8, He said, I will bring you into the land concerning that which I did swear to give it to you. He said, I promised to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and I will give it to you for a heritage. He said, I am the Lord. He's come to bring us into a better place. Psalms 84, verse 11, and I'll read this and I'm about done. The Bible said, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold to them that walk uprightly. Some time ago, I did a study out of that chapter. And I was reading one writer, and this is what he said about that verse. He said, God has always been trying to get the children of Israel to understand one thing. I'm trying to get you past those things that you think are good for you. And I'm trying to get you to that place that's best for you. Lord, get us out of Egypt. Then they get out of Egypt. They say, you know what? We'd be better off down in Egypt. What's He trying to do? He's trying to get you beyond the good. And He's trying to carry you to the best. Lord, get us beyond the Red Sea. Boy, we'd be a lot better off now if we was back on the other side of the Red Sea. What's He trying to do? He's trying to get you bypass the good. Get you to the better, the best. Lord, we'd have been a lot better off if you'd have left us back there. Hey, all we're doing is eating manna and quail fresh every day. You're providing our needs. You're giving us water out of a rock, God. We'd have been a lot better off in Egypt than flesh pots. He's trying to bypass, get you the best, the good to get you the best. You know, there's a lot of things tonight that I thought would be real good for me. There's a lot of things since I've been saved, preacher, that I thought was good for me. But there's some lessons that you have to learn when you ask God, God, why can't I participate in that? God, why will you not do that? God, why won't you let me be that kind of person? God, why won't you let me do that ministry? God, why won't you let us be that kind of church? Lord, why can't we have that kind of family? Lord, why can't I be that kind of man? Why can't you be that kind of woman? Always why? But yet, could it be that maybe God is allowing you to bypass all those good things that you think why, and the reason you're asking God why, and God's trying to get you past all of those good things because He wants to let you know that Canaan's not far down the road. He's trying to get you beyond the good and get you to the best. Hey, there's a lot of things, a lot of decisions I've made that I wish I'd listened to God, Miss Renee. Yes. Me and Miss Deanne first got married, and right before we got married, I bought a car out of God's will. A car. I went down the car lot. I had a Hyundai Excel, paid $250 for me, got 79 miles of the gallon. Glory to God. And I went down there, and God told me not to go buy that car, and I went ahead and did it anyway. And when I got married to Miss Deanne, y'all remember, you remember that old purple, ugly-looking thing I bought, Brother Jake, Miss Phyllis. It's what the Lord told me. You made the decision. You've got to live with it now. They wouldn't nobody buy it. I couldn't trade it. It lost its value. And that's what the Lord told me. You're going to drive her, the doors fall off. I made the last payment on her, and both doors broke at the hinges. I went and traded her, got rid of her. But for 4 years of our marriage, we walked under bondage because we wouldn't listen to what the Lord said. I wouldn't listen, not her, I, me. And He's trying to get me beyond the good. And He's getting me down the best. You see, we look around and we think, boy, I tell you, I wish I was living like the Egyptians were living. But see, what you don't realize, all they are to you is all you are to them is a slave. You may think it's better back there, and you keep asking God why, but what you better realize, it ain't better back there. And God's doing some things for you. He's trying to show you He's in control. He has authority. He's trying to show you that He is trying to work some things in your life. He said, I am the Lord. He said, I have. I can do what I choose to do. But I've made a promise to you that I'm going to keep you and watch over you and provide for you. And I'm going to be your God. And not only that, I'm going to marry you. You're one of my family. I'm bringing you in. I like what one preacher said about relationships and about marriages. We don't never mention any kind of thing about divorce. He said, how are you ever going to leave somebody who won't leave you? How are you going to walk away from a God that won't walk away from you? How are you going to give up on a God who won't give up on you? How are you going to give up on a Savior when you've done Him in, He won't do you in? How are you going to walk away from a God who, when you have quit and thrown up a towel and said, God, I'm tired of all these whys? He said, that's all right. I'm going to love you anyway. I'm going to care for you when you don't even love me and when you don't even thinking about me. I'm providing and I'm doing and I'm blessing and I'm loving and I'm caring for you. When you don't even care for me, I'm still loving you and I'm still caring for you. Oh, maybe tonight you're saying, God, why? God, why? Well, I can't answer your whys for you. But I'll tell you what I can do. I can point you to God who has the answer to your why. And maybe He's just doing it because He's God. And He loves you. And He's trying to bring glory. Maybe, Brother Tim, maybe He's trying to do a work that we can't see the end result of. Maybe tonight He's just fulfilling a promise. But whatever He's doing, you mark her down. He's trying to get you beyond what you think's right and good for your life. And He's getting you the best things. Preacher, can we get Brother Daniel to come back? Let's stand tonight.